Welcome to Zoom. I'm your host, Timmy Zoom. This episode, I have the top five movies of the past weekend, August 11th and 12th, 2012. And I have a couple of movie reviews. But first, I just got to say rest in peace to a legend. A legend died this weekend, Sunday, August 12th. Joe Kubert. Legendary artist, what can I say? His notable works were Sergeant Rock, The Silver Age Hawkman, and Tarzan. He did, you know, Tarzan comic book for DC. He did a bunch of things. Great artist. I just reviewed his Night Owl from last week. He did the Watchmen, Before Watchmen Night Owl series. So I'll definitely be buying the rest of that. He's worked, you know, from the 50s till today. You know, he has a comic book called Tex the Lonesome Cowboy from 2005. He's been working, and most notably, he started the school, Joe Kubert School of Art, which a lot of great artists came out of, you know. And what more can I say? Just a legendary guy, died at 85. I'm sorry. Well, yeah, he's 85. He would have been 86 3 weeks from now. So I just want to say, yeah, man, winner of Eisner Awards, Harvey Award. He's the man. He is the man. National Cartoonist Society and Alley Awards. Just the dude. He's the dude. Joe Kubert, rest in peace. What else is going on? I was looking at what's being released this weekend. This week, this Wednesday. And I came across a video. I didn't come across a video, but I came across a listing. One of the new releases this week is a DVD called Warren Ellis Captured Ghost. And it's by the people who did the Grant Morrison documentary. I think his was called, I forgot what the subtitle was with Grant Morrison. But that was a good documentary. It may still be on Hulu. I remember seeing it on Hulu for free. So yeah, check that Grant Morrison documentary out. But this Warren Ellis is coming out, but I probably ain't going to see it from a year from now, or at least 6 or 7 months from now when it's on Hulu, because I ain't paying no $31 for this. And Netflix, I don't have Netflix anyway. And Netflix, with the Grant Morrison thing, they had was a video. They didn't put it on the video on demand. They just had the video. And they must only had one video, because they never gave it to me. They said it was they kept putting it down the queue. So my thing is, the only way you could probably see this Warren Ellis will be to wait till it comes on Hulu for free, or put down $31 for it, because that's one of those videos that's gonna be hard to get a hold of. Now let's see what else is. Oh. The other thing that's coming out this week, Avengers number 29, and it was like, that is, of course, another part of the Avengers versus X-Men. They must have like 100 comics in the whole Avengers versus X-Men story. 100 comics already. They probably got more than 100, probably going to have 200, 300 by the time they're done. And I wasn't interested. No, I wasn't going to get anything that was a crossover with Avengers X-Men. But I saw the cover to this, and it was hot. This is what you talk about when you want to buy a comic book. This cover. It's drawn by Mike Diodato, so right there it's a winner. But it's Captain America. You know, his suit is in tatters, you know, ripped up. He's got cuts across his body like he's been in battle. And he's hiding behind a pillar, or he's kind of waiting, and he's in wait behind a pillar waiting for his prey to come. And his prey is like four or five X-Men led by Rachel Summers. Yeah, he can't beat that. He can't beat that. Okay, I don't know how he's going to beat that. But that's why, that's what makes it a great comic book cover. You want to check it out. So that I was looking forward to. I was like, I'm probably going to buy this. But then I saw a preview of it online. And just like the first three, four pages. Man, Mike Deodato was not drawing the interiors. Okay, let's put it like that. The interiors, well, it was, okay, it just, first I was just reading it. It was like, okay, it was all the Avengers together in a room. Not all of them, but like four or five of them. Captain America and Tony Stark is talking about how they're going to defeat the X-Men. And Spider-Woman, you know, is telling them what she thinks they should do. Then they show Hawkman. she says, we got to get a telepath from X-Men and Hawk. Not Hawkman, I'm sorry, Hawkeye. And Hawkeye, he says, oh, we better not go for Emma Frost. She like turned me, she turned me down five times, man. I tried to hit on her for five times in the past few years. And he looked like a slab of concrete. He looked like a big stupid jock with a big dumb grin on his face. And everybody, he's smiling in here. And there's no teeth. It's just a white for teeth. You know how they do. They do that in animation. They do that in very cheap animation. He just looks so stupid. I'm like, this ain't Clint. This is not the idea we get when I think of Clint. Not a big slab of concrete. Look like a big dumb jock. But I realized the reason why he looked so awful, because everybody in this comic book looked awful. It just wasn't, his was just the most glaring. But as I was reading along, I was like, this is horrible art. This is shitty, shitty art. Like I said, looks like cheap, a steal from a very, very cheap animation, a very like 1970s cartoon, a steal from it. Not even Hanna-Barbera, okay, cheaper than that. I'm like, what the fuck? I couldn't believe that whoever this art, I just figured they got some new cheap artist. I look at the credit, and it figures, but then it doesn't figure. It's Walt Simonson. This is a guy who everybody loves because his run on Thor in the 80s. I didn't read Thor in the 1980s expressly because Walt Simonson was the artist. I can't stand his art. I put him in the same category as Mike Mignola, and I don't like David Mazzucchelli. Their art is just okay. It disgusts me, their art, but I didn't think he was this bad. Okay, I knew he was bad, but I didn't think he was this damn bad. I'm like, God, this is horrible. This art in Avengers 29. Don't be fooled. Look, if you see the cover of Avengers 29, that tight, dope cover. Okay, just look inside first, okay? I'm just reminding you, look inside to see if you want to buy it after you see the art in that thing. Awful. Awful. And an abuse of power, basically. What's his name? Walt Simonson. Yeah. He said, yeah, I'm a comic book legend. Give me a job. Even though I can't draw worth a damn, and I'm not even going to try. Okay? I'm not even going to try as hard, as little as he tried in the 80s to draw. He put even less effort in this. Let's see what's going on with the box office. Okay, let's see here. Box office. This weekend. Number 5. Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Dog Days. Like some people are saying, this is looks like a cheap Nickelodeon film. And when they say Nickelodeon film, they mean movies that are on Nickelodeon, on TV. A cheap TV film. But it's number 5. Kids love it. But I think maybe Diary of Wimpy Kid is wearing out his welcome, because it's, it's got his budget back. It's, you know, but it's not. It never hit number 1 like the Diary of a Wimpy Kid before it. This is his second week on the charts. But I think it just like went up to number three, was the highest it went up. So I wonder what that's gonna do. I wonder if they're gonna, you know what? That's enough for them to keep making movies, because they're gonna more than double their budget. So they'll probably keep making, and they'll get less and less quality. Number four, Hope Springs with Meryl Streep and Tommy Lee Jones. That made 15 mil, and the total gross right now is 20 mil. Must have started earlier in the week. I don't know how much it cost. With those two, it probably had a nice price tag on it. So I don't know what the movie is about. I don't care. That's what you call counter programming with all the, with all the big flashy action movies in the summer. They put adult, and when I say adult, I mean senior citizen comedy out, and people, or drama, whatever it is. It did a little bit of business here. Number three, Dark Knight Rises, Dark Knight Falling. Okay. Okay, I can't talk shit. It made its money. It made its money back big time. But I'm glad it's not number one. I'm sick of that movie already. Sick of hearing about it. Wasn't that great of a movie. Number two, The Campaign. I saw it this weekend. Thought it was funny. It's the Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis comedy, where they play two guys running for Senate in their state, and it shows their little battle. It's pretty good damn movie. And what's his name? Dermot Mulroney or whatever his name is. The guy, something, Dylan McDermott, the guy from The Practice, Bobby from The Practice. He did a good job in this, man. It's a good, if you like those two, and you like their comedies, you like old school and all that shit, the Hangover, you'll like this probably. The Bourne Legacy is number one with 40 million in its first week, budget of 125 mil. Yeah, I like this movie because I saw it. Jeremy Renner was great in part, but see, I like him. I never bought Matt Damon as a badass. That's why this, to me, this is like Andrew Garfield taking over for for Tobey Maguire. Okay, the first guy I was never impressed with. I like this guy who they got now. He could have played Jason Bourne. He didn't play Jason Bourne. He played another character, but he should have just played Jason Bourne and just took over the part, just like James, all those actors who do James Bond. You can get away with that. Forget Matt Damon. Okay, and matter of fact, I saw the first two Bourne movies, and I don't remember hardly anything about them except like the ending. I remember what happened to the kind of the bad guy, Chris Cooper. I remember his character getting fucked up at the end. The second movie, I remember nothing about except something about his wife or girlfriend dying and a car coming up, going off a bridge. So that tells you how much that series impressed me. I didn't see the third one, didn't give a fuck. But Bourne Legacy is good. Jeremy Renner, good stuff. Even though the first 40 minutes, they say the first hour, but I say the first 40 minutes, it's like, huh? What the fuck is going on? It's like boring, stretched out. It's Jeremy Renner's character is like on a camping trip, climbing mountains and running, walking through the frozen wasteland. And it's like, okay, what's up with that? Then it cuts to back to like Washington, D.C. or wherever, and Edward Norton is running around giving people orders. We don't know anything that's going on. There's no explanation whatsoever, hardly. I mean, you could piece together stuff, but it's like, okay, give me something to work with, movie. And they're throwing, and it's one of those movies where it's like watching people type on a computer screen. Oh, he's at this airport. We got to find him. Okay, access the camera in that air. And okay, zoom in tighter. Is that her? Is that Bourne? Is that Bourne in his cohort? So it's like, and it's like that's what it is. And then get the PF9 down here, and you're like, what's the PF9? Okay, they don't say PF9, but you know what I'm saying. They throw a whole bunch of technical jargon and stuff. Then the movie picks up about 40 minutes in, 45 minutes. It really picks up. So and from there, I like the performance of Rachel Weisz. I'm glad to see she's still working. And she got a nice role. Which, and Jeremy Renner, they did great. Okay. And then the rest of the actors, they got the oldest actors in the world for this movie. I'm like, what the fuck? Where'd they come from? Stacy Keach, Albert Finney. I'm like, what the fuck? What rock did they pull them motherfuckers from? Or I should say, what grave did they put them motherfucker? But anyway, that's the top five movies of the week. So now I just, you know what? The Bourne Legacy suffered at the beginning and the end, the bookends. They were recalling shit from other movies with no explanation whatsoever. I mean, if you never saw those other movies and this was the first one, some of the scenes, like at the end, they keep showing Joan Allen from the previous movies, and it's like, who cares? We don't know what she has to do with anything. Jason Bourne isn't in this movie, so they don't need to have her in here. And they basically, all she's doing is walking from her apartment, and reporters are, you know, surrounding her, and the government, I mean, the secret agency wants to silence her. But it's like, but they don't do anything to her. She's just being harassed by the photographers, and it's like, who cares? It has nothing to do with this current story whatsoever. So why is that in there? Why is Joanne Allen, and Joan Allen looking old as fuck? You old when you can't even hide it from the camera. Usually, you know, you used to be able to touch her up, and she didn't look so bad on film. But anyway, that movie reminds me of this issue of the Fantastic Four that I'm going to review. Yes, I did get another Fantastic Four comic book, 609, by Jonathan Hickman. And I saw there was a done-in-one, and I said, let me get it. Let me just pick it up. And it had the Thing fighting the Hulk on the cover. But you know, it's like a future version of the Hulk because he's got long gray hair. Anyway, this is some bullshit, this comic. It's a done-in-one, all right, but this is a total callback. It's an end cap for Mark Miller's run on the Fantastic Four, which I bought his whole run. I found at a comic convention, like 50 cents a piece. They were bagged and boarded and everything. So I got them all, but I only read halfway through. And I think point that I read through, what it dealt with the New Earth story arc. I think I'm done with that, but I got to read the rest of Mark Miller's run. I couldn't finish this run because after I read that first half, I was exhausted from having to push myself through that shit. Now, people said that they weren't impressed with Mark Miller's run on Fantastic Four, and I could definitely see why. First of all, the first story arc is a contrived thing about some group of scientists who create another Earth. I don't think you hear me. They created another Earth. But there were hundreds and thousands of whatever scientists, so that makes up for it. All those people who built the new world, they lived in it for now. I think it was the Earth for like something happens to us, to our environment, then we can go live on that new Earth. But the concept of building a whole new Earth, it's like, I'm a writer, so I can do anything. It's like, no, you got to have some reasons within the laws of, you got to have some constraints so you don't do ridiculous shit like that. And then something happens to all those scientists on there, and it's an empty new Earth. I mean, there was some corruption or something. It was just like, but I'm like, what's the point of that? The point was, now they have a whole new empty Earth for the next story arc, which is a contrived thing with the Defenders of the Earth, which is the Defenders of the Future, led by Sue Richards. And it's just so contrived, it sucks. And basically, it's an Earth destroyed in the future, and the solution is, at the end of the day, the Defenders come back here to try to kill Sue Richards. It sucked. But they were basically, the end of it is, they were looking for a new Earth for this new, for the population that's on Earth. They're dying. Our resources are dying. You know, we were destroyed by Dr. Doom and Galactus and all this shit. So they conveniently have New Earth. They bring those future inhabitants of the Earth back in time and populate it on New Earth. Since then, some more shit has happened with it. It was a whole ridiculous storyline. If I was the writer who took over from... Usually, yeah, T-Mafia and myself look down upon people, the writers who just look at the previous writer's work on a character and just said, yeah, fuck all that, and rewrite and just dismiss it with no explanation. It's a disservice to the readers, especially if they like that storyline. But this Mark Miller storyline should have been jettisoned. Whoever was coming after him, Hickman, it was Hickman, could just said, yeah, fuck him, and nobody wouldn't have cared. But no, Hickman uses this one issue, one of his last issues of Fantastic Four, to put a nice little end cap on it, and it's, you won't get it unless you got those issues, even though he recaps what happened in those issues. It's so ridiculous that it's like, who cares? As you're reading it, I can't believe that somebody would write that shit. And you're going to actually honor that story by writing an end cap to it. And it's just like, if you're just coming to the Fantastic Four, a new reader, or you've come in after years and you read this shit, you're going to be like, I don't care about any of this. It doesn't have anything to do with Fantastic Four itself. It's Fantastic Four 609. Another bad piece of shit by Jonathan Hickman. I haven't read anything by him that I like yet. And everybody was saying, people were saying the Shield. It was a comic book. It was just called Shield, about the history of Shield. Now, how could you fuck that up? He fucked that up. That wasn't good. That was so boring and stupid, the two issues that I read. So I have yet to read anything good by Hickman. And now he's taking over for the Avengers. Oh, Lord. No. He ain't that good. He's like the new golden boy, I guess Hickman is. But no, you can't know. And everybody talks shit about Brian Michael Bendis, but his runs, everything he's done is great. Okay, everybody say, oh, it's time for Michael Bendis to get off. Why didn't they do that with Chris Claremont years ago? They didn't. They let Chris Claremont do X-Men for 20 years. Why can't Brian Michael Bendis do the Avengers for 20 years. He's got another 10 years. He did 10 years already. Let him do another 10 years on the Avengers. Anyway, that is the episode. I don't know what to say. I'm going to come back soon with some other stuff. Some other reviews, book reviews. When I say book, I mean novel. And yeah. So once again, thumbs up to Born Legacy. It's a nice action film. I say 3 out of 5 stars. And The Campaign, I give 4 out of 5 stars. And that's for people who like Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis. Check out the website, zoomcast.blogspot.com. If you need to contact me, send email to blackpun2000@yahoo.com. Until next time, peace.